And so that's what this is all about. And the banners you see, discipleship, commitment, and legacy. And I just invite you, would you take those brochures home? There's commitment cards. Over the next number of weeks, you're going to be hearing more about More Than Bricks and the direction we feel Jesus is leading us into. Many of you do not know Al Munger. You saw him on the screen. And Al and Erica live most of the year in Palm Springs, but they're going to come up. We've invited them to be here. I want you to meet them. Al led the leadership team that embraced this vision of what God could do through a Christian school. And there were about 40 students involved then. Now, as you heard, there's over 600, or right about 600. So we'll be talking about that, but would you take those things home and consider prayerfully how you can be a part more in the next couple weeks. Well, thanks for being a part. If we've not yet met, my name is Tom, and I have the privilege of serving here at Gateway with a great team. However, I have a confession to make. Before you start my teaching clock, Karen, because it's like this morning, I taught the entire 8 o'clock gathering with my zipper down. Now, this is why I'm telling you. This is why I'm telling you. And then after I was done, after we were closing, two of the staff team came up and said, hey, your zipper's down. And I'm like going, why didn't you tell me before all of that, see? And I figured out that was slide by. I mean, they were sitting on the front row here. But then I got a text from somebody who was sitting right in the back and said, hey, got your zipper up? So I know the stories get out there. And I just figured a little bit of confession there is probably pretty good, right? So anyway. Well, last week launched a series. Okay, now you can start. All right, here we go. Last week launched a series called More Than Bricks. We really talked about the superiority of Jesus, the supremacy of our Lord, and the impact that makes on all of our life. And I shared with you that for me personally, it's been the most transformational thing in my life. It's been the one thing that has brought a peace that has just settled in my heart and my life. It has changed me. It went from my head to my heart. And I will tell you, hasn't been all that long ago either. And I shared with you how I carried this rock called worry around for such a long time. And a number of years ago, Jesus healed me of that. And share with you how easy it is to come back and try to pick that thing up again. And I encourage you, and I ask this, I challenge us, if we really embrace the supremacy of who Jesus is, that he is in all and he is over all. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15 says, Christ is the invisible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. That's you and that's me. That's everything. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. And Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. And if we really believe that, if we've embraced the truth of Scripture, the supremacy of Christ, that he's in all and he's over all, then why do we pick up the rocks? Why do we carry them around? And they represent our relationships, and they represent our husbands and our wives and our family, our kids, our finances, our jobs. Can we just get to the place where we say, Jesus, you're supreme. You're over all, you're in all, and you're over all. Hudson Taylor said it this way, if he's not Lord over all, he's not Lord at all. And that really is the basis for what I want to talk to you about today. But let me ask you this question. Did you pick up any rocks this past week? Were you tempted to go there and go, you know what, God, I understand you're supreme, but, you know, and all of a sudden something kind of settles in and you pick the rock up. Look at, did you put it down again? I got a story that was emailed to me, and I asked for permission to share it, and the author, the gal, says, absolutely, to God be the glory. So here it is, deals with the rock. She says, I'd just like to share with you what happened to me yesterday. That was Monday, so after our gatherings on Sunday. Worry is something I struggle with all the time. Even though the Lord has proven himself faithful, time and time again. Last night, as I was driving home, I started worrying about finances, again. With several financial burdens hitting me from all sides, I got so stressed out at the budget that I had set for this month that it might not make ends meet. Then I remembered your message and realized I hadn't even made it 24 hours without picking up my rock of worry again. So in the car on Highway 3, I told the Lord I was surrendering it back to Him. She put it down. When I got home, I went to pay my phone bill, and I noticed I owed minus $33. Yes, a negative. She says, confused, I called the phone company. It turns out that I had received an unexpected credit to my account that completely covered this month's bill, and it was enough to cut my next month's bill in half. I felt like a kid on Christmas morning. There was no need for me to carry all that worry. God is faithful. He's always faithful. I was reminded of Psalm 121, where it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's supreme. He rules in all and over all. Unless you be sitting out there going, you know, I spent $33 last week in coffee. Who cares? Listen, if you don't have $33 to pay your bill, it's like $1 million. And Jesus proved himself faithful again. What do we need to put down today? I want to talk to you about something really, really important that's rooted in the supremacy of Jesus and who he is. And it's a five-letter word. Anybody want to guess what it is? I'll give you a hint. First letter, F. Faith, exactly. I want to talk to you about faith today. And my prayer is that the Spirit of God would just teach us, would just settle on us again today. I will tell you that there were 30 guys in the auditorium last night praying over you and praying over your seats. And I just pray that Jesus just teaches us through the Holy Spirit. I will say it this way. There is not enough room on this stage for two people. God and a man. It's God. And so I just pray that he teaches us today. And I know when we talk about that five-letter word, which is faith, that there are faith warriors out here. I mean, here's what you wake up in the morning and you're like, your feet hit the ground like this, and it's like you just take on the world, right? Because faith is just something that you've learned and you've trusted in Jesus, and you could take on anything and everything that comes your way. God bless you. But a lot of us sometimes struggle living there, don't we? I won't talk about that today because it's rooted in the supremacy of Jesus and who he is. In all and over all, want to talk about faith. In Acts chapter 14, you don't need to go there, but if in Acts chapter 14, Paul is teaching, he's telling people about Jesus and people are being set free. And in fact, what they're hearing and what they're seeing is absolutely incredible. So they try to make him a god. And he's pushing back on that because it's not about God. It's not about me. It's about him who sets people free. And then there was a riot of sorts. And Acts chapter 14 says they drug Paul out and they stoned him until they thought he was dead. They drug him out of town. How many know that's a beating? And Paul gets up and he comes and he goes back and he keeps on teaching, and he says these words, and these words are used to encourage those to continue in the faith, continue in the faith, continue in the faith, trust in Jesus. Let's think about that. Faith, that five letter word. Now, Jesus talks to us a lot about little faith. In fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 8 and you scroll down and you read the story again about the disciples who got in the boat, and Jesus sent them to the other side and they got in the boat, and all of a sudden, if you know the story and you've heard it, the seas get really rough, right? And I've likened that sometimes to our life, because the water, you know, just starts blowing, the wind starts blowing, the water starts coming in the boat, and that was the case for the disciples. And Jesus was in the boat, for crying out loud. And you know what they did? I mean, like, they woke him up and said, "Dear God, Jesus, we are going to drown. We are going to lose our life." And you know what Jesus said to them? You know how he responded? "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. And here's what I'm praying today, that when we understand faith that's rooted in the supremacy of Christ, that that will take us to a brand new level, maybe, in our walk with Him. Because some of us are believing for spouses today. Some of us are believing for kids. Some of us are wanting to believe for our jobs and for finances and for just a whole lot of things. We'll talk about faith. Let me give you four layers of faith real quick here before we get going. We kind of focus in on just one. There's the experience of faith. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, you've experienced faith. That is, you trust Jesus for the very first time. And it may happen at an altar like this. It may happen in your car. It may happen in your home. But you experienced faith when you placed your trust and you placed your faith in Him. So there's the experience of faith. And then secondly, there's living faith. That is, in all of life, Jesus walks beside us. You know that, don't you? The Bible says He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there. He walks beside us. He's trusting Jesus for our daily needs. It's where some of us struggle sometimes and talk about living faith. And by the way, if I were to ask you, what's the most common, most well-known psalm in the Bible? You'd probably say Psalm number, 23 probably. And just let me kind of sidebar here, say that psalm is not about going through the valley. It talks about going through the valley. That's where we live sometimes. It's not about the blessing or the mountaintop. That's where we live sometimes. It's all about the shepherd who takes us through. Psalm 23 is about the shepherd. It's about living faith. And then thirdly, there's the realization of our faith. None of us are there now in a very real sense because we're alive and we're breathing. But that's trusting Jesus for our eternity. Now, we trust Him for our eternity, and we realize that when we pass from this life on to the next life. We realize our faith, and we celebrate that because we're here like for just, 70, 80, 90 years or something like that? And we're going to be with Jesus like for billions of years. And so that's cool. And so that's realization of our faith. What I want to talk about today, though, is the fourth layer, and it's this visionary faith. Just think about it, visionary faith, believing Jesus for those things that we cannot see. I want to talk about that. That's our focus today, believing Jesus for those things that we cannot see, but we embrace. They're out there. We can't physically see them, but they're out there, and we're going to talk about that today. Let me give you a definition real quick of visionary faith. Believing God for our future and the direction He calls us to individually and as a faith community. Faith rooted in the knowledge of who Jesus is. He reigns supreme in all, and He reigns overall. I love Mrs. Einstein. She was asked if she understood the theory of relativity, and to which she responded, "No, but I know Albert does, and he can be trusted." That's a pretty good word there. So, do I understand everything about life? No, but Jesus does, and He can be trusted, and He's in all and over all. So, visionary faith that calls us to trust Him in two very specific areas. I'm going to share with you two stories in just a few moments that takes us beyond the ordinary. Visionary faith does that. And visionary faith that calls for sacrifice. But let me tell you first about this guy named Charles Blondin. I don't know if you know him or not. You certainly don't know him personally because he was alive in the 19th century. And he was a tightrope walker. And he was famous, and there's his picture right there. He crossed the Niagara Falls, and to the cheers of literally thousands of people, and one time he crossed them on stilts. Can you imagine that? Another time, he crossed blindfolded. Another time he crossed with a cook stove, and when he got out to the middle, he stopped, cooked himself an omelet, and ate it. That doesn't even register with me because I do not like heights. I mean, I'm okay on the stage here. I got my feet on the floor, but I don't like heights. I don't like getting up in that donut up there. You know, this does not do well with me. Another time, he packed his manager on his back across the tight wire. Another time, yeah, he filled up a wheelbarrow with 350 pounds of concrete, and he wheeled it across there, 350 pounds. And the crowd was just roaring, you know. They were just going crazy. There were like thousands and thousands of them. And then he asked, how many think that I could put a man in the wheelbarrow and wheel him across the tight wire? And they all cheered, you know, yeah, yeah, you could do that. And he looked at one guy, he said, then get in. And he refused. Where is Jesus inviting us in? To the wheelbarrow. Where is he inviting us to place our trust in him, this visionary faith that takes us beyond those things we can see or really completely comprehend or understand? What is he saying to us about get in? And I don't want to minimize by this what I'm going to say next and take you for the ride of your life. In trust and faith. And here's what I got to believe. As we embrace visionary faith in a way that trusts Jesus for things that are beyond the ordinary and things that bring us to a point of sacrifice in our life, what is it that he can do in you and through you individually? And what is it that he can do in this community to make a difference in the world? Listen, can I tell you what I'm not talking about? I'm not talking about embracing faith for the big salary out there. I'm not talking about visionary faith that says, I want, man, I just visualize that house right there because that's my house. What I'm saying is, can we just have visionary faith that just releases God to do whatever he wants to do in us and through us so that his glory will be revealed in the world today, in our community, in the region, and in the world. And that's what this is all about. Can we embrace what Jesus wants to do in us? You see, when we talk about faith, we understand that we grow by faith. That's what the Bible says. In Colossians chapter 2, just listen to it, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Jesus the Lord, he says, so walk in with him. Walk in him. Spend your life there, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your five-letter word, faith, established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. By the way, Hebrews, which we're going to go to in just a moment, says it's like impossible to please God without faith. He calls us to faith. He calls us to trust in him. What about this visionary faith and what's it include? It includes everything. It includes our stewardship. It includes our finances. It includes our relationships. Wives include your husband. Husbands include your wives. Parents include your kids. Single people, if you're not married yet, includes all of your life and your desires. It's everything that he wants to do in us and through us so his name will be glorified. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, just gives us this definition of faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. If you're in the wheelbarrow or he's calling you in, faith says, I'll get to the other side. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That's visionary faith. Can I just remind us again about the leaders of Gateway many, many, many years ago? They're leaders that most of us don't know, who embraced that vision, things they couldn't see, but believed that Jesus had spoken to them, and they embraced it out there somewhere, and we just happen to be standing in the somewhere, looking back at what happened as a result. Think about that for a moment. What's God want to do in you and through you as you stand here right now, and somewhere down the road, someone's going to look back and see that. because God's going to be glorified in your life. What's he going to do in all of us in this faith community as we stand here, embrace the vision? We can't quite see what's out there. What are those out there going to do when they look back here and give God thanks? What? Not because we're doing anything, but because Jesus is doing something in us and through us. That's visionary faith that moves us out of the ordinary and calls us a sacrifice. I want to talk to you about two guys. They're listed in this Heroes chapter, chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. And I think that you'll recognize both of them. We'll go there in just a second. The first guy is Noah. Name ring a bell? Do you know, by the way, that Noah is the most famous, not famous name, today for boys? Yeah, thank you. Common. That's the most common name for boys is Noah. So right on. By the way, can I say something? I was going to say please, but look, I just want to lovingly say to you, do not base your biblical theology on a movie. Okay. Yeah, you know what? There's only one place that we do that, and it's called the Holy Word of God. It's called the Bible. It's why we give them out all the time. If you don't have one, get one. They're out there in the lobby. But Hebrews chapter 11, if you have it, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11, and slide down. There's a bunch of heroes of the faith here, but we're just going to talk about two. The first one is Noah. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Did you get that? Visionary faith. God warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, if you pop back to the first book in the Bible, the very first book, Genesis, chapter 6, we kind of read this story of Noah. Now, the Bible says that God spoke to Noah. Now, we don't know, was that in a dream? Was it an audible voice or however it was? But somehow, God spoke to Noah, and Noah understood what God was saying. But just think about it for a second. When we talk about visionary faith that moves us beyond the ordinary, God called Moses to do something that had what? Never happened before. And so here it is. God observes mankind. His heart is broken. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race out. I have created from the face of the earth. I'll destroy every living thing. That's the beginning. And then verse number 9 of Genesis chapter 6. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth, everyone was corrupt. So God said to Noah, however God said it, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out along with the earth. And I can just see Noah going, awesome. Because everyone around is this corrupt God. You got this right. And then God says, build a large boat. Think about it. Yeah, what's a boat? God says, I'm going to destroy everything. Noah, build a boat. I'm thinking that Noah's going, honestly, God, there's another way to do this. There's another way to do this. You're God, man. You're God, and you can just wipe the entire world out and start over. He could do that, could he not? He could do that. But he calls Noah to build a boat. And then he says, this is how big I want it to be. I want it to be made out of cypress wood, and of course, it needs to be waterproof. construct the decks, install throughout its interior, make it like 450 feet long. So that's a big boat. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. And I'm going to cover the whole earth with a flood and destroy everything. Visionary faith, when we hear from God and we believe in God and we trust in God, that moves us beyond the ordinary. God was about to do something through Noah that had never happened before. Beyond anything that had ever been seen or known before. Noah, get in the wheelbarrow. We're going for a ride. Noah, trust me here. I began to think about all that again over the weekend, kind of running through some stuff for today. And thought about all the stuff maybe sometimes we don't think about, or maybe it's just me, I don't know. But I'm thinking all the animals, and I'm thinking animal poop. Honestly, I don't know how else to say it. As I'm a city guy, and I don't even like to smell barns and stuff in barns. All of that. Now, maybe God did something so that didn't, I don't know. But here's the deal. Noah, I want to use you. I want to use you. Noah, get in the wheelbarrow. Noah, do this. Do you know that when God was speaking to Noah about all that, he was 500 years old or right around there. Do you know when the Bible says, and the waters began to rise and the flood came, he was about 600 years old. That's 100 years of believing God. That's 100 years of sitting in the wheelbarrow and believing God that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. That's visionary faith. It takes us beyond the ordinary. And you just got to know that when the waters begin to rise, Noah and his family, they were pretty happy about that. Because God had just fulfilled what he said he was going to do. Now call us to that kind of faith. Not so that we can enjoy life. Not so that we can have stuff, but so that the glory of God can be revealed throughout the earth, in our community and in our region and in our world. Because I'm believing for this city. And I'm believing for the region. I'm believing for our world. The gospel will go amongst the areas in the world where we're working, amongst the Wolof in Africa and the Garhwal in India, over in Basque country. God's planted that vision in our hearts and for our students and for you and for me. God, put us in the wheelbarrow, please, and let us see beyond the ordinary. Take us to that place. There's one other guy that I just want to talk to you about real quick. Abraham, he's listed in there too. Abraham, check out the passage. It's the story of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. That's visionary faith right there. Didn't know where he was going. And when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by five-letter word, faith, that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. That's visionary faith. Listen, there's another bit of a story of Abraham, maybe you're even thinking about right now, his son Isaac. God called him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Can you just put yourself into that wheelbarrow for a moment? I'm talking about visionary faith that calls us to sacrifice. And God says to Abraham, man, get in. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay your son Isaac out on the altar here and sacrifice him. And get in. Abraham took his son up the mountain, laid him on the altar, took his knife, and was ready to plunge it into his son when God stopped him. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Abraham would have killed his son? Do you think Abraham would have plunged that knife into his son? The answer is absolutely yes. He would have. We know that. Because if we go down to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, this is what it says. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. That's visionary faith that calls for sacrifice. It was getting in the wheelbarrow and trusting Jesus, trusting God that he would do this as we walk obediently before him. He is in all and he is over all. I just have two questions for you this morning. And I'm going to pray. From the first story about Noah, what is God saying to you? What's he calling you to believe that is something that you can't see right now? Some wives, you're going to put your husband out there. Husbands, you're going to put your spouses. You're going to put your kids out there. You're going to put your jobs, your careers. Look it. So that God would be glorified. That's why. What's he calling you that you can't see right now? Can't see it perfectly or maybe not at all. It's out of the ordinary. It's out of the ordinary. Visionary faith takes us into that area that's out of the ordinary. But in obedience, you're going to step out in faith. And let me add, you're going to get in a wheelbarrow. What is it you're going to do today? Secondly, what is it that God is speaking to us about giving up for him right now? Giving up for him. Maybe it's the rock that you're hanging on to again today. What is it? Now I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to invite you while you're sitting there just to consider those two questions. What's he saying to you about something that you cannot see? He wants to work in you. He's calling you to get in. What is it that he's saying to you that you can give up right now? And so Jesus, here we are, sitting in this place, listening to your word and inviting your Holy Spirit to speak to us. You're calling us to trust you, to have faith in you, to have visionary faith that takes us out of the ordinary, because it's you, God. It's not us. It's only something you can do. You're calling us to trust in you. And so right now, whatever that is, you give it to him, and you give your relationships and your kids and your spouses, your jobs, your finances, your stewardship of your time and your resources. God, I can't see it, but I believe that you're speaking to me. It's out of the ordinary, and God, maybe to those around me, it doesn't even make sense, but God, I know that you've spoken to me and it's in line with your will. So I embrace that vision and I commit to it in Jesus' name. Now, what is it that he's talking to you about this morning, about giving up? Because visionary faith calls us to sacrifice. We've been carrying that rock around for too long, trying to make it on our own, trying to grasp those things that maybe the world tosses our way. And maybe we've done that. But God's speaking to you right now about what he is calling you to sacrifice. Whatever, maybe it's your time. It's your money. Some other area of your life. And he's inviting us into the wheelbarrow today. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. For who you are, your Lord, you're in all and you're over all. And we trust you today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, shall we? We'll be done in just a few moments, but want to honor our moms as we go. We have a gift for you. Show you that here in just a second. When we think of moms, the spectrum is much larger than we might think. And it came across this last year, posted it online this morning. It's called The Wide Spectrum of Mothering. We honor all of you. To those who gave birth this year to your first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms and mentor moms and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who have experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who did not choose life, we do not condemn you, but we celebrate the great reunion to come. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be. To those who step parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and we rejoice with you. To those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst, and we remember you. Can we stand together? And I just want to pray a blessing over our mothers. And if you just hold just for a second, I just want to show you, we have a gift for you, but join with me, shall we? Father, we pray your blessing on these warriors, these heroes, truly are every one of them. Every mother who fits into that list. I pray your blessing today, and not just today, but every day. God, may they know that they're loved in ways they can't even imagine. I pray for that. And I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have a gift for you. And look at, we've never done this before. Yeah, probably it's got you nervous, hasn't it? It shouldn't. Thanks, Mark. These are cool. And not just because they came out of the refrigerator just a little bit ago, but check them out. Yeah, so here's the deal. A group of the staff, and Chad was one of them. You were one of them, weren't you? And myself, and a group of us went down, and we ordered these for you, moms. So we got chocolate and vanilla and velvet with not just any old icing on. It's not that stuff you get out of a can. This is buttercream. That's awesome, isn't it? So here's the deal. All the kids, you keep your hands off them because we have guards out there. And husbands too. Amen? Have a great day. See you next Sunday. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Moms, get one.